my chief joy as an adult is setting my own boundaries.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of freedom, and I'm like, I'm sorry, we're not going back.
No, I literally
am not going back.
It's just like whatever they say, this is why you can't have nice things. You literally can't keep me freedom. I don't know how to act. I don't know how to act.
Yeah, it's like that first day that you walk around your own apartment, like in your underwear, I'm like, there is no going back from this feeling. Literally, I cannot dial it down.
From Gimlet Media, this is Sampler. I'm your host, Brittany Luce, and the voice you just heard was my fellow podcaster, Amina Tuso. So Amina, as I call her, comes to us from Call Your Girlfriend, which is a super popular podcast for long-distance besties everywhere. She co-hosts that show with her BFF, Ann Friedman, who also happens to be a fantastic writer and journalist. I love their show because it's like you get to eavesdrop on like the private, like best friend phone conversation of just two really, really smart, really funny women. And they like talk in this way that's just so true to life and accessible. Like after you listen to a few episodes, like, I don't know, you feel like they're your best friends too. In fact, I like their show so much, I decided to invite Amina into the Sampler studio to see if we could take a shot at becoming BFFs in real life. Welcome to Sampler, Amina.
Thanks so much for having me, Brittany.
So today I'm going to be playing you some clips about women and women's experiences. But first, let's talk about your show.
Okay.
You guys talk about, you know, news and politics and, like, you know, serious journalism and literature. But you guys also talk about a lot of the stuff that, like, that I would be, like, too embarrassed to discuss with other people, but, like, exactly the type of information that your best friend is always going to care about. Like, period cramps and the Kardashians and, like, your self-care routines. Like, there's an intimacy to your conversations that I find really familiar. And it just feels a little bit like taking a bubble bath. Like, listening to your show is so soothing.
It's like that feeling when you take your bra off at the end of the day. Like,
yes.
That's what we're going for.
It's like I get to hear, like, you know, someone else's best friend conversation, but it also gives me, like, the warm tickle of, like, you know, talking to one of my own best friends. Call your
girlfriend. Oh, my God. Let me tell you, I had a face mask experience this weekend. Friend of the podcast, Carolyn, and I were texting about having a low-key hang this weekend, and she was like, can I bring anything? Weed, face mask.
Stop.
And I was like, I am well stocked on both of these fronts. And then she was like, no, I meant like face mask actually made of the ganj.
I have so many questions. Please explain.
So here, having actually done it, I will say this to you, that I experienced no contact high, like through my facial skin, but I am looking very dewy and cute.
That's the vibe I'm always going for.
Cute and dewy is like a great vibe.
Yeah, that's like, you know, I'm like, I want to look like my face is moisturized and I look cute.
Exactly. So, I mean, here's the biggest negative point. The actual stuff is sort of this like sepia color. And so for two white ladies doing this face mask together, we were like, whoa, we're in a no iPhone zone. It was like we both turned our phones onto airplane mode, safe space, so that it would not be recorded.
That's so funny. Well, I'm wearing a full-on black face mask right now, which these are my favorite things in the world. I'm always like, I love it when I look problematic in a face mask. And it's pretty good.
I feel like if anyone could get away with it.
Oh, it's black people, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. Everybody knows what they talk to their friends about on the phone, but hearing you guys' conversations, you guys are kind of redefining, like, what I think a lot of people's ideas are of what, like, girlfriends talk about on
the
phone or even just, like, in life. You know what I mean?
That's something that's, like, wildly important to me. It's just this, because there is this really insidious idea that, like, the things that young women talk about are frivolous.
Yeah.
You know? And whether it's the way that we talk about them, because we like and we upspeak all the time.
And
you
vocal
know?
Fry.
And we, that thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, concept.
Yeah, so it's the, people don't like the way that we talk. But if you're actually paying attention, what they're saying is that, like, they don't like what we talk about. Because what we talk about is not important.
Mm.
Every time somebody writes me and they're like, why are you saying like all the time? I'm like, because this is not fucking NPR. If you want to hear that, you should listen to that. Also, this is how I talk to my friends.
Man, this is the state of sexism, right? Is that we have this overqualified woman running for president, no matter how you feel about her. It's
oh,
like,
totally.
She, you know what I mean? Like, she has the range. She mm-hmm. can do the job. She's running literally against the biggest doofus the other side could field. And that's still supposed to be a competition. Which woman cannot identify with that?
It's true, right? And it's like, in some ways, I'm like, this makes it so one for the history books, right? Like, we will tell, like, women who are decades younger than us someday, be like, listen, not only did we not have a woman president until God willing, 2017.
She had to compete against a sentient Cheeto.
Exactly.
That's what happens.
Exactly. She had to compete against a human poop emoji.
And it was a close race. Like, that's how far we've made it, little girl.
Alternative. We talk about the high and the low.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I talk like this doesn't mean that I don't care about politics.
Yeah.
You know, or... Yeah. You know, or it doesn't mean that, like, I think that Kim Kardashian is somebody that we should all take seriously because she's built an empire.
So now that you're all good and warmed up, let's play some clips. How do you feel about that?
I feel great.
So we've been talking a lot about expectations for women. I feel like that's something that, like, I mean, honestly, I feel like you get two women or two femme-identified people in a room together, and, like, eventually the conversation will lead to what is expected of us and also what we can expect out of the world, if you know what I mean. So the first clip I'm going to play for you definitely speaks to that. So it's from a show called Strangers, which is a storytelling podcast from KCRW and Radiotopia. And it's produced and hosted by Leah Tao. So this clip is about a woman named Becca, which is not her real name. Becca is in her 30s, and she is a Persian Orthodox Jew and a virgin.
That's a lot.
Who waxes genitals for a living.
Oh my God, this is like, this could be straight out of Shaw's of Sunset. I love it.
In this clip, you're going to hear talk about how much of a liability it can be to be a woman. In this case, a woman with a vagina. Especially in contrast to how much of an asset it can be to be a man with a penis. So the other voice you're going to hear in this clip is Leah Tao, who's the host of the show. But it starts with Becca, who's talking about some of her earliest experiences.
When I was born, everyone was a bit disappointed because I was the first child and they were expecting a boy to carry on the 13 generations of rabbis that I had come from. But I was a girl, let everyone down. And then when I was about 9, my brother was born and the whole community was so excited. It's like he was basically the firstborn. They had a huge bris for him and 1,000 people showed up and he got so much money, which he used recently to buy a condo. Like, that's how much money he made off his little ding-ding. The only thing my vagina's ever brought in is gold coins that are for my dowry, which eventually go to my husband. From the moment I was born, my grandparents and parents started putting away money and gold. Like, it was very important just to make sure I got a good suitor and that he'd be paid handsomely to take my shame of having a vagina off their family. I got my period when I was 10, which was awful and horrible. My mom wasn't really, like, helping me out with anything or explaining anything to me. So, in fact, when I was growing up, my mom always used the word Matty Z for period, which means disease in Farsi. So your period was referred to as your disease every month.
When Becca was 11, the family took a trip to Israel, and they spent a day at an amusement park where Becca found herself on her period and short on maxi pads.
I ended up in the park's restroom, and I had no more pads, and I didn't know what to do, and my mom was outside, and just, like, Israeli women screaming, like, talk so loud, and, like, there was no toilet paper, and I was sitting there crying. And I asked my mom to get me a pad, and she's like, they have no more pads. So I'm like, all right, fine. Can you please, please, please give me a tampon? Please, I don't know what to do. Just please give me a tampon. And she's like, no, tampons are for bad ladies. You are never to use a tampon, ever, ever, ever. So I just started crying, and I'm like, please, just let me have something. And then finally, my mom threw my baby brother's diaper over the stall, and, like, I caught it, and she left. So I took the diaper and I put it on myself and then used my underwear for extra support, even though I like tried to tape the diaper onto my skin. And the underwear cut into the diaper, so it caused the diaper to puff up on top of the underwear and underneath. And it was completely visible through my white culottes. Like, I had these, like, little puffs of diaper sticking out from everywhere. And you could hear it, too, because this was a bunch of years ago when diapers were still made of, like, plasticky material. So every time I moved, you would just hear, like, squish, 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 squish. I felt like a three-year-old.
Becca didn't start using tampons until she was 26. And she was a bit unsure how to go about it.
So my best friend from college walked me through it from behind the door. She's like, okay, you do this and that. And it was like, it was kind of painful and really hard. I didn't quite get it because I was not really comfortable with my own vagina. So when I finally got it, I was like, oh my God, what have I been doing since I was 10 years old? Like 16 years. And I've been wasting my time with maxi pads. Like, this is amazing. But I hid them from my mom. And then my mom, who's very nosy, went through my stuff one day and she found tampons. And so she freaked out on me and decided not to talk to me for 10 months. Then finally, she asked me to go to a female Persian gynecologist to get my hymen checked out just to make herself feel better. I was going to argue with her about it, but I was, like, happy that she was finally talking to me because even after all the craziness, I love my mom. Like, she's kind of hilarious and, like, very loving but just insane and, like, stuck with these traditional values, which I can never change in her. So I've given up on that. But I still wanted to have a relationship with her. So I said, fine, I'll go to the doctor, no problem. So I went to this Persian female gynecologist who mostly sees Persian women. And I went in, and my mom tried to come into the room with me, which was so awkward. And the doctor's like, can you please get out? Like, the doctor was awesome. She was very much on my side. And when my mom left, my doctor said, look, I know you're a virgin, and it's ridiculous. You really need to go get laid. Don't worry. I'll tell your mom you're a virgin. But, like, go take care of yourself, which was really eye-opening for me to hear this from another Persian woman. And then when we got back to her office after she had done the exam, my mom kept hounding her that she wanted proof. So my doctor's like, fine. And so she took out her prescription pad and wrote, patient was checked, hymen is still intact, which my mom was just smiling ear to ear about and, like, got a copy of, gave me a copy of, like, check it out, I've got a certificate, my hymen's certified.
My parents, they miscarried a boy before me. Mm. It was, like, their first kid. And then I came along. And, you know, like, to be fair to them, they were excited. But the part that really got to me is when she was, like, when her brother was born. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, this is the real deal.
Yeah.
I remember when my brother was born.
Is your how many siblings do you have?
I have two siblings, a younger brother and a younger sister. And when my brother was born, that was, like, the signal that my parents were not having children anymore. Like, that was, like, made very apparent to us. You know, I remember my parents joking, being like, okay, you know, like, case closed.
Like, the thing that I found most interesting about the clip was sort of just, like, the money aspect. Actually, it reminded me actually a lot of the some conversations that you and Anne have on Call Your Girlfriend, specifically about money. Like, it's a topic that you, like, you seem excited to talk about a lot of the time.
Oh my God, I'm a shark. I love talking about money.
Why do you think it's so important for women to have conversations about money?
Because it's one of the most obvious ways that we are oppressed is that we don't have information about money.
Yeah.
Seeing the ways that, like, older women in my family were being held back either by, like, young marriage or not having their own source of income, mm-hmm. and all of the things that I was like, this... Like, I want more for myself.
Yeah.
But I think, too, that, like, you know, it also worked out really well that I, it's like I worked in tech, but I was also in charge of, like, managing really large budgets for projects mm-hmm. at a really young age. And so talking about money in a professional context came, like, really naturally to
yeah.
me. And that was one of the, like, blessings in disguise of, like, working with a lot of men, you know, is, like, realizing that they have no shyness about talking about money. Like, anytime a woman asks me for, like, money, like, negotiating advice, mm-hmm. I always tell her to ask the men at her job, like, how much they're making. I'm like, don't ask the other women. They're, like, making as little as you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a relevant data point.
Well, it's even, like, I mean, this is going to sound probably terrible, but, like, whenever I think of sort of just, like inequality around women and men and money, I tend to only think about the workplace. But, like, listening to the clip sort of made me think about how early
at a really early age.
Like, you talked about your, like, the difference between, like, you know, the excitement around your birth and that of your brother. Can you remember a time early in your life when you realized that being a girl meant that less may have been expected of you or for you?
After Ramadan, every year, you know, like, there is a big party, Eid, and, you know, it's like, we get to eat food and everybody's excited and you get a lot of money. Like, the kids get, like, a ton of money. Like, every adult that comes through your house to say hello and thank you just, like, showers you with, like,
that's awesome,
with, like, candy and dollars. My younger siblings were, like, counting the candy, and I was like, I have my eye on these dollars. Like, you people are crazy. The paper treats are the ones that matter. But, like, even then, you know, it's like seeing that, like, my brother would get more money than us, you know, which, like, made no sense. I was like, there's three of us. We are the exact same. We're from the same family. What's the difference here? And I was like, oh, this is the difference. And I remember, like, one particular end of Ramadan where I was definitely in high school because I was in boarding school and I come home for the holiday. Mm-hmm. And there were all these people at my house. And I went around the room, and there were some people that I knew and some people that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I say hi to all my family, and I'm, like, hugging them. I'm so happy to be home. And then this one man, I extend out my arm to shake, you know, like, to shake his hand.
Yeah.
And he refuses to shake my hand back. And I don't understand what is going on.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm, like, being polite. It's like, you have to be, it's like the performance of politeness with, like, West Africans is ridiculous. And I'm just like, hello, you know, and then finally my mom just, like, looks at me in the corner and just, like, she's just like, cut it. Like, she's like, this man does not shake women's hands. Like,
oh my gosh.
Know that. And I remember being so furious that my parents would have somebody like that in our house.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I've done nothing wrong. In fact, I'm doing the thing that you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Like, being the, like, good daughter and saying hello to everyone.
So much of being a woman and so much of being a, like, a young girl is, like, consistently being told to perform politeness all over.
Totally.
The
and
there time.
And there's also, like, all these ways that you can't win, right? It's like you have to be strong academically, but you have to be shy and quiet and you have to dress this way.
Yeah.
But it's just like, hello, like, you were like setting people up for failure.
Literally,
it's just like
failure, depression, anxiety, confusion, stress.
There's nothing about you inherently that, like, sets you up to win that contest.
All right, we are going to take a quick break, but when we get back, genetics, karate, and big man babies. All right, so welcome back to Sampler. I am in the Sampler studio with the effervescent and ever lovely Amina from Call Your Girlfriend and the upcoming travel podcast from Pineapple Street Media.
Hello.
So I want to talk about your new show.
Yes.
It's a show about women's travel.
Yeah, it's a show about women travel for women of color, about women of color.
Amazing.
You know, like, travel narratives just do not center around women of color at all. And we just wanted to make a show talking to women who travel, like, what their travel habits are, where it is that they're going, where, you know, it's just like, what happens when you center, like, as I like to say, ladies of flavor around travel. It's like, what happens?
Yeah.
And so, like, we talked to Jenna Wortham, we talked to Roxane Gay.
Oh my God, all the coolest people.
We talked to this really cool sociologist, Melissa Valle, who has, like, all this incredible advice around, like, hair, health, and harassment, like, when you travel.
Amazing.
We talk to women who are just, like, hardcore business travelers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, my hope is that, like, somebody that's listening to it in their cube at work, it'll make them, like, pull up Google Flights and go, like, where can I afford to go and just, like, go somewhere. because travel is such an important part of like shaping who I am. And I want everybody to have that.
Why is travel so important to you?
Well, for one, I like come from African people. We like, we are travelers.
Uh-huh. It's the truth. It is the truth.
We go far because where we come from, it like our parents want to give us more than they had. And so, yeah, it's like for me, my parents like sent me to boarding school and then they sent me to college in America. And, you know, like I come from Guinea, which is like a really poor African country. Both of my grandmothers were like married off when they were 13. So like for me, the fact that like I get to roam around the world alone, that's something that I don't take for granted.
Yeah. So I have another clip for you.
Okay.
So this clip comes from the show Radio Diaries from PRX and Radiotopia. And the podcast is exactly what it sounds like. It's people's personal diaries in audio form. Basically, the people who make Radio Diaries, they give people tape recorders and work with them to report on their own lives and personal stories for like a set period of time. So this is from an episode about a young Saudi Arabian woman named Majd. And Majd recorded her diary over the course of 2 years, starting when she turned 19 years old, which to me, like 19 to 21, that's a critical time. So Majd is growing up in a culture where getting married and having family should be like her top priority as a young woman. And at this point, her family has already been approached by a potential suitor and she is not interested.
Oh, stress.
So her dream is to be a scientist. And at the start of her radio diary, she is a bachelor's student in clinical lab sciences. So in the first clip I'm going to play for you from her diary, you're going to hear her at a restaurant with her older brother. And the conversation turns to a discussion about her future.
Anyway, orange juice, please. Fresh water.
Hi, it's me again.
The date is December 2nd. And we're at a steakhouse.
Outback.
It's a steakhouse called Outback.
No, no, it's Australian chain. It's called Outback Steakhouse.
Okay, what a fuck. I'm with Majid, my oldest brother. I just ordered grilled salmon. And Majid, what did you order?
Chicken fried chicken, which is a bit redundant.
We're sitting in the family section of the restaurant. It's part of the separating the sexes a little bit. So do you mind if I do an interview with you?
Okay.
So, yeah, what do you want me to do in the future?
You?
Yes, me.
To be a great mom and to have a great husband. Yep.
So when do you think I should get married?
You should get married now.
Now?
You are capable of getting married, so you should get married now, yeah.
I will, inshallah, I will be capable in 3 or 4 years as well.
No, you are now capable.
Yes, and I was capable last year too.
Yes, so you are missing a lot of great opportunities.
Actually, I think I will miss great opportunities if I do get married. I feel like if I get married, I have to be responsible towards my husband. And so that would stop me from doing the things I want to do.
Being responsible for your husband is just very marvelous that you cannot, you will forget everything else.
Okay, wow. We're moving on.
He's like essentially making her point for her, right? He's like, marry a big man, baby, and then you'll forget all your problems.
Yeah.
Because you're like wiping like butts all day.
Exactly. It's like, just, you forget your problems because now his problems are your problems.
Yeah. You know, it's also just this like, how much do you have to want something as a woman to get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like there's one world in which you're like, oh, you know, like this is cute, like the sibling interaction or whatever. But the truth is that like this is intense family pressure. Like this is the kind of stuff that makes you say, maybe I don't need to be a scientist. Like I'm going to do this other thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm going to play you another clip from a later point in her diary. So a year after Maj started recording the diaries, she graduated from university.
Yay!
I know, yay her. And she got a chance to do work at a genetics lab for a couple months in another city. And she was so excited about the opportunity and especially excited that her parents would let her go and live on her own for a little while. So we're going to pick back up with her in her temporary home.
ألو السلام عليكم.
السلام ورحمة الله، كيف حالك؟
الحمد لله كويسة، أهلي باب الحمد لله على السلامة.
الله يسلمك.
I'm on a video call with my parents. Okay, إيش بتقولي؟
أوكي سأل عن الناس كلهم قالوا ما شاء الله.
My mother is saying that there's another person who wants to get married to me. In the past year, I got 2 proposals, I think.
والله يقولوا إنه مؤدب وخلوق
و. My mom says he's very well mannered and polite. His professor sees him in the mosque. And then she handed me over to my dad.
هذا الأب طلع بروفيسور في البكتيريا.
Oh, my dad said, you know, his dad is a professor of bacteriology. Bacteriology, that's so cool. Well, I just might marry him just for his father. So I asked my mom how she feels. She says, there's nothing that I would love more than for you to be with me forever and not get married at all. But you have to, you know, it's how life goes. So we'll just make sure that he's the right person. Okay. I'm probably going to say no. But I feel like there's a 1% chance that I'll change my mind. So
I agreed to meet him.
Okay, so she did meet him. And here she is a few months later with another diary entry.
So here's what happened. I met the guy who proposed to me. The guy and his dad came. They were sitting in the men's section of the house. My mother and I, we were peeking through the door, but it was still too far to hear much. So we called my brother and we told him to keep his phone on speaker. And we muted the phone from our end so that we can hear them and they can't hear us. Trust me, all families do that, okay? It's not just us. And then finally, they said, it's time. My mom tried to fix my hair and I said, no, just let me be. So I walked in. I thought he was pretty cute, actually. He made eye contact, proper eye contact. And he said, how are you? And I said, I was good. And I said, how are you? And he said, he was fine. So he asked me first, what are my interests? I was like, I like genetics and I like karate. And he didn't seem to mind, you know, which is good. And then my dad was like, Maj, do you have any questions for him? So I asked the guy, what do you want to achieve in life? He was like, I want to change the way energy is used in Saudi Arabia. He said, we use a very old system and I want to invent something. I looked at him and I was like, yeah, nice. That's a good answer. And he was like, what about you? And I told him, I want to prove that being a Muslim Saudi woman who wears a headscarf, it doesn't stop me from being a scientist. And his eyes shone a little bit. You know, it was a good feeling.
Not to be this person, like, you know, like, I'm glad that, like, that guy was cute and that, like, he's also kind of a nerd.
And they did end up getting married. They did end up getting married.
I mean, I know where this is going. You know, like, I get all of that, you know, and I'm like, you know, like, if that's what she wants, like, I'm happy for her. But at the same time, it's like, where is the story of the girl who just wants to be a scientist, you know? And that's just as valid. And we don't have to like, ooh and ah about her romantic achievements. Because that's the other thing is that like people treat marriage and romance and dating like it's some sort of accomplishment. Uh-huh. And it's like, no, it's not. It's literally like these are not the things we should celebrate you for. You know, like getting a PhD in like genetics. Yes, we should like throw you a party and have a registry and like all of that stuff.
See, this is the thing is like I feel almost split on the topic because I feel like, okay, how do I put it? I feel like a relationship and marriage and no shade. I feel like children, just having them in and of themselves, like having those things to me is not an accomplishment because if you feel like it, I would say a good amount of people can go out and get those things. But being able to have like a healthy relationship, being able to like be a good caretaker for your family. Like, those things to me are things that should be celebrated.
Here's the thing. I would be down for all of this.
Yeah.
If, like, we treated, like, men this way. You know what I mean? It's only for women that it's like, do you want a wedding or do you want to live out your dreams? Like, those are here, too. You know, it's like, he can have all of it.
So this whole episode has been like, we got into some heavy stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we got real. We went deep. But I want to know, what do you love about being a woman?
Oh my God. We're definitely living in a moment of like, it is cool to be a woman or whatever. And
or whatever.
I'll tell you like one thing that stresses me out a little bit about it is I think that we're like way too gender essentialist about it. You know, it's just like very much like cis women do this thing.
Yeah. And everyone has a vagina. Like,
totally. Yeah, and everybody has a vagina and everybody has a uterus and like periods. Let's paint the world with our blood and all of that stuff. I'm like, like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like this because if we're honest, there are many ways to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, like, I think for me, like, that's what I've enjoyed the most about it. I've been really challenged in, like, you know, like, what it actually means to be a woman, you know, and and I like that we are our own little tribe, you know, part of the, I keep going back to the way that we talk. And I think that the thing that makes me really excited about, like, women who upspeak and have that, like, California Valley girl voice or vocal fry is that, like, actually, if you flip it on its head, it's a dog whistle, and that's how we find each other, you know?
Say more about that.
Yeah, I'm, like, not interested in someone who is, you know, they're, like, so proper and buttoned up and, you know, like, they're too cool and this is their, like, this is my white man public radio voice. I'm like, that's great. The reason I talk like I talk is because I'm trying to get my people to find me, and they find me, and I find them. It's great.
I mean, you have been an amazing guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
You were great. And everyone, you could hear much more from Amina by checking out Call Your Girlfriend, which is an amazing independent podcast. And also keep an eye out or keep an ear out for Amina's upcoming travel podcast with Pineapple Street Media.
Out very soon. Thank you.
Obviously. Oh, wait, you got to tell people, where can they find you on the internet?
I do my best work on Twitter.
Agreed.
At Aminatou, A-M-I-N-A-T-O-U. Same place on Instagram. And yeah, I'll see you on the internet.
See you on the internet.
Bye. When we pull our money and we buy Gimlet, like, great. That's the next step. I'm like,
it's the next
step one, get invited to Sampler. Step two, Venmo by.
Venmo by.
I'm going to Venmo Matt Lieber and whoever the other one is. And just be like, give me your company.
And speaking of Gimlet the company, the podcast that started it all, Startup, is starting a new season this week. You can catch a new episode of the first ever Gimlet show Thursday, October 6th. And if you want to hear a sneak peek, stick around after the credits to hear a trailer from season 4 of Startup. To recap the clips featured on the show today, the story of the bikini waxer, Becca, was from Strangers. Strangers is produced and hosted by Leah Tao. You can listen to the full episode at storycentral.org. And the story of the budding scientist, Majd, was from Radio Diaries. Majd's diary was produced by Sarah Kate Kramer and Joe Richmond of Radio Diaries, with help from Nellie Gillis and editing from Deborah George and Ben Shapiro. You can hear the entire diary on episode 49 of the Radio Diaries podcast. This episode was produced by Sarah Abdurrahman, Kate Parkinson-Morgan, and myself. It was edited by Annie Rose Strasser and Peter Clowney. Our theme music was made by Mike Avellian, and our ad music was made by Mark Phillips. The show was mixed by Zach Schmidt and Bobby Lord. Sampler is a production of Gimlet Media.